Tov, b'siyata d'shmaya. Today we're going to be doing the klal of hadachasan zuhi gemar melachton, as it appears in Sif Dalid, that we left that because it's really a totally separate discussion from the discussion of kalei abishal. And then we're going to discuss bishal by melach, shuman, rotav, shenikrash, as well as tavlinim. That b'siyata d'shmaya is the goal for today. Okay, so let's pick up with the tour. The tour in Seif Dalid points out that everything we had learned about Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni applies in the standard types of foods. However, says the tour halfway through Seif Dalid, V'hani mili sheish bishlach ha-bishl b'tavshu sheish b'marak avodavar yovish and spashal kvar mutar v'shrosa b'chamin. Adavar yavesh, it's not subject to bishul. Disnan kol shabba b'chamin l'fnei ha-shabbos. Pirush, shen spashal kvar, shorin osa b'chamin. Umukula b'taragolos de Rabbi Abba, shen spashal kol tzar, kavahos yavesha. So if something has already been cooked, it's not going to be subject to bishul. The kol shaloba b'chamin l'fnei ha-shabbos, but if it hasn't been heated before Shabbos, ain shorin osa b'chamin, mishum d'choshiv kimevashal. Then it's going to be considered cooked. And here is the chidush, avol b'shabbos, Madichin also bechamin. In general, you could pour hot water onto that food. Now, Emir Tzashem, on Monday, we're going to discuss that that's only in regards to pouring from a Kli Rishon, a Kli Sheni, but pouring from a Kli Rishon is going to be a problem, and that is a big debate, because the Stimas HaMishnah, Stimas HaGemara, Stimas HaTur, all seems to be that if you're pouring from a Kli Rishon, it's going to be fine. But we're going to see that there are many who are choshesh for Irui being Mevashel. So that we will discuss in Mirtz Hashem on Monday. The exception, as the Mishnah describes in Perikira, is that if you have the Spanish mackerel, and the Spanish mackerel is not edible unless it has hot water that's poured upon it, and the normal way to treat that fish was by pouring hot water on it, that it wasn't cooked in a Kli Rishon, but rather it was doused with hot water. It didn't need to be cooked in a pot. Pouring onto the mackerel is itself going to be the Isser of Bishul. There is an important comment from the Darchei Moshe, from the Hagos Mordechi. In Sif Katan Beis, the Darchei Moshe says, "Ubagos Mordechi, the Dover Kosha she'ein ro'ui lechol ki in b'shriya aslush osa b'shabbos." The Havik Gemar Melacha. If you have something that's hard, that's not edible, so then in such a case, then you're not allowed to soak it in hot water. The mashmos might be that even if it's in a Kli Sheni, it's going to be aser because it was a dover hakasha. It was something that wasn't edible, but once you cooked it, then it became, put it in the hot water, possibly even a Kli Sheni, it's going to be subject to the din. And that's what we see in the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah in Sif Dalit. We see chutz min amaliyach hayashim, picking up in the Mishabura editions on page 268, chutz min amaliyach hayashim min adag shnik v'kul yasasban shen tzrichim bishul al-ma'at v'adachasin gemar melachtam, v'hu adin, the same applies, says the Ramah, kol davar kash shen rov lechol klal b'lo shriya, to asr shrosa b'shabbos, it's prohibited to soak it on Shabbos. Explains the Mishabura of the Mitzius, to asr shrosa, it's asr to soak, afilu b'kli sheni, just like we have this din of hadachas and zui gmar melachton, anything that would not be edible but becomes edible in a Kli Sheni is going to be subject to the din of bishul. Okay, so this is the straightforward din of hadachas and zui gmar melachton. The parts that get a little tricky are how to qualify exactly what type of food we're discussing and what type of water we are discussing over here. So that is what comes up in the Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Lamed Vav, and there's going to be a lot at stake. What's at stake is the discussion of how many different types of foods could you violate the din of Bishul, even if it's a kli sheni, even if it's coming from Irui kli sheni. So do we say that applies only to the Spanish mackerel? Does it apply to other foods? All of that, or part of it, comes up in the Mishnah Berurah Sifkatan Lamidvav. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Dag meluach shal shana she'avra klus ha'spanu shem dag she'ochen osa machas milcha ade adocha b'chama v'alkein afil adocha nami lo she'zeo gemar b'lachna v'havid bishul. So bishul, it does become relative. It becomes relative to the food item. Other food items will not be cooked on this, but this is considered bishul. V'isa b'gemara d'midicham b'chamin, and the Gemara describes that if you pour hot water onto it, chayiv chatos, and in such a case, you're going to be chayiv carbon chatos. V'hine kam achron kasu tev shal edvarm shein chom lachol kol zman shu lo hudach v'chamin, v'alkein hudach v'shalahen chosh v'bishol, d'mash v'lo achol. V'hu adin shar dover mulach chiyotze v'hen, she'ein yichon lachol klav lo adachol, avol dvarm shichon lo echlan al yidei adach asmayim tzonein, ein yisra l'adichon v'chamin kli sheni. The first issue that the Mishnah Berurah adds over here is what happens if you have a food that would be edible if you pour cold water over it. If you poured cold water over it, it would also be edible. It doesn't need hot water. So he says that in such a case, there wouldn't be an iser to pour from a kli sheni because it doesn't need bishul. So you're not going to have bishul in such an instance. And continues the Mishnah Berurah, Fiza dag meluach shem mekamein, shnikra herring, shechon lecha adei adachas tzonim. Herring doesn't require specifically hot water. Now, herring that's extremely, extremely sharp is going to be a problem, but and needs to have water poured over it. It's not edible. But does it need hot water? So the answer is no, it doesn't need hot water. So since it doesn't need hot water, then there's no bishul per se. The only time there's going to be an iser bishul is if it's coming from a kli sheni. But the taz is machmir. So what's this machlokis between the taz and the majority of poskim? So if you take a look in the Be'er Halacha, Dibar HaMaschil Chutz, he explains that the pshat must be as follows. It's about three lines before the end of Dibar HaMaschil Chutz. And this that the Sefer HaPardes asks, that when it comes to a certain type of fish like the tuna, it doesn't need hot water. So why would you be chayiv for bishul? The Taz will learn as follows, that even though the herring is edible if you pour cold water over it, but if you pour hot water over it, it must be that the Taz is talking about a case where that fish is going to become better through the hot water. So you can't even pour a kli sheni because it is going to improve the food. So any time the heat is going to improve the food, even if it's coming from a kli sheni, if it's that's the normal way to treat the food, so then in such a case, the rules of Kli Rishon, Kli Sheni don't apply. That's issue number one. Issue number one, of course, is the Yesod from the Mishnah. The extension of it, issue number two, is the extension of the Ramah, that the Ramah says, Kol Davar Kasha, that it applies to. And number three, even if the pouring, it doesn't make the food edible in the sense that it would be edible even if cold water is poured onto it. Nevertheless, if the hot water improves it, then it will be subject to bishul as well. Issue number four that comes up is the Be'er Halacha and Dibar HaMaschil v'had l'chasam. The Be'er Halacha raises the issue of bishul in terms of makah v'patish. And that is a fascinating machlokas between the Prima Gadim and almost everybody else. And this Prima Gadim, the Be'er Halacha, has a lot of problems with. The Prima Gadim, it says as follows. He says that he doesn't think that it's only hot water that would be the issue. Even if you pour cold water, you're going to be chayiv. That's what the Mishnah is saying. So Meiraf Sanigra, how could that be? How could you say that even if you pour cold water, if the food was unedible, and you pour cold water and makes it edible, you're going to be chayiv? So how in the world could you be chayiv? That should be not an Isser of Bishul. It can't be an Isser of Bishul, because Bishul is only with heat. That's a Davar Pasha. So comes along the Prima Gadim, and the Prima Gadim says a wild Chiddush. To this day, they're still fighting about how wild the Chiddush of the Prima Gadim is. The Prima Gadim comes along, and he says that the Isser over here, of Adachasan Zui Gmar Melachton, is not Bishul. The Isser over here is Maka the Patish. After all, what is the language of the Shulchan Aruch? V'hadachasan higmar melachtan. So there really is an entirely different din that falls into Shin Yud Ches Dalet that has really nothing to do with Shin Yud Ches. That's what the Prima Gadim is saying. And that is that when it comes to Ochlin, if you take an ochal that wasn't edible, you make it edible, you're going to be chayv. And that's what the Mishnah of Kulyas HaSfanin is talking about. Kulyas HaSfanin has nothing to do with the din of Bishul. It's an entirely different din. It's this din of Makeh Bepatish Beochlin comes out then, if that would be so. So then if you have an instance where you pour anything, whether hot and cold, or on any type of food, or you do anything to make a food edible, according to the Prima Gadim, you have this Shaila of Makeh Bepatish. That's what the Be'er Halacha describes in Dibur HaMaschil V'Hadachasan. Now, this is quite a Chiddush. What the Be'er Halacha says, what the Prima Gadim says, is quite a Chiddush. And the Be'er Halacha comes along with Rayas upon Rayas upon Rayas that he thinks are Rayas Bruros, that the prayer of Gadim is wrong. First of all, even though the Shulchan Aruch says v'adachasan zui gmar melachta, and of course gmar melachta could be used to describe bishul. If you look in the Mishnah uses the term of doing bishul even on the kulyas ha'aspanim. So the Prima Gadim will say, ein achanami. There you cooked it, and because it made it edible, but because you used heat. And there, when it comes to the Spanish mackerel, you need heat. But what would be in regards to herring? Herring that doesn't need heat. So then in such a case, then you would still be chayef for makeh bepatish in such an instance. It would seem that according to the Prima Gadim, that even when you heated the food, that's not going to be bishul. The iser is going to be, it's true, there you were mevashel, the Spanish mackerel, but the iser is makeh bepatish. Why? Because it's not part of the regular rules of bishul. It's already in a kli shlishi. It's already irui from a kli sheni. So then why are you going to be chayiv? Different din. It's a din of gmar melachta. It's a din of makeh bepatish. So the Mishnah describes bishul because that's what you did, but it's not meleches bishul. It was a mice of bishul to create the isra of makeh bepatish. But over here, what we're talking about is when you have something that's cold, that also could be a melacha. That could be a melacha of makeh bepatish. Take a look in the last few lines. Let me just finish Rebelli, the Be'er Halacha, and then I'll take your Ha'aras. If you take a look in the last few lines, yes?
According to this Prima Gadim, does that mean that every single Malacha, which we described as one which turns inedible food into edible food, is a double Malacha?
Not a double Malacha. According to the Prima...
Also Tochein and...
No.
No,
good question.
Good. That was the Hagdara we gave from any malachos.
Right. We saw that. I don't know if we saw yet because we haven't done makeh bepatish. But the answer to your question is it's a minchas chinuch that we didn't do yet. The minchas chinuch writes that makeh bepatish is an exception to the rule because he asks your question. He says that if we know, like you said, that you could be chayiv two malachos on one ma'isa, so anytime you do tochen, anytime you do lush, anytime you do bishul, you should be chayiv for makeh bepatish. So Minchas Chinuch asks your kasha, and Minchas Chinuch says that makeh bepatish is an exception. Makeh bepatish is when it's not any other malacha, then it's going to be makeh bepatish. That's the Minchas Chinuch's discussion. I actually forget. It could be the Minchas Chinuch asks the question, and this teretz that I just gave is from one of the other achronim. Maybe the Shvisas HaShabbos gives that teretz, but it is a well-known discussion that the Minchas Chinuch brings up. I don't recall. It could be the Shvisas HaShabbos gives this teretz, or the Merkavas HaMishnah. One of the classic achronim gives that teretz. And Minchas Chinuch himself might be the one who leaves off with the Tzarech Iyun. Yes, Fivel.
Yeah, just from the whole discussion that whether or not Shaykh Makeh Bepatish, fact that we're not saying it's bishul because we are softening the food, meaning obviously when you're soaking it gets a little bit more soft, it used to be a little bit more hard.
Right.
Is that a riot to what we were discussing, like one of the first shiurim, that if you put bread into soup, that might be an Isser Bishul because you're softening it, and we had a discussion whether or not that's Mutar Aser. From this Sif, it seems like that would be fine, right? That they never bring in this issue.
They never bring in the issue of making something soft, and they should have said it should have been Bishul just simply because you're taking something hard and making it soft. The only issue they entertain is Gmar Melacha. I hear what you're saying. Now, it's interesting that we're going to discuss this, if we get to it today, that there is a Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan La Megimel, that might... It's not a kasha on what you're saying, but it does complicate the whole discussion about making soft. Because there is a Mishnah Berurah that's Machmir about making something soft. But we're going to see that's probably part of another discussion. Okay, good. All right, so that's... So the Be'er Halacha doesn't like this. And the Be'er Halacha concludes by saying, the inyan makeh the patish bedvar ochel udavar chadash lo nimtza beposkim. It's not found in any poskim, and therefore the Chafetz Chaim, it's actually unique. Chavetz Chaim, he's so strong against the Prima Gadim. Va'ad Rabbi Yishkam Estiris Lezel Kamashe Kesavnu Va'kein Ein Lahachmir Ba'adach Asonim Mishum Gavne. So normally the Chavetz Chaim is choshesh for certain shitas. Here he says Ein Lahachmir Kein Laniris Nir Laniyaz Daiti Be'ezras Hashem. So he says at the end of the day this whole idea to say that there's going to be Makid Patish is a problem. Now the later Achronim expanded this Machlokas. And they said this would be a broader question of whether there's such a thing as makav patish by ochlin. In other words, can you have makav patish by ochlin itself? So one of the only sources is this prima gadim. This prima gadim that says that you'll have makav patish in this case of hadachasan. So you see that there's such a thing as makav patish by ochlin. But if you go with the Be'er Halacha, he says this is absolutely wrong. It all started with the sugi of kulias haspanim. Kulias haspanim is only heat. It's only a question of bishul. And you won't be chayev for pouring cold water over the herring. Again, the nafkamina is going to be cold water over the herring that's not edible. The prima gadim would say yes. The Be'er Halacha would say no. And then if you constructed any other case where the food was entirely inedible and you make the food edible on Shabbos, boom. So once again, you're going to have an issue of makav patish bochlin. So the Be'er Halacha would presumably say no, and the Prima Gadim would possibly say yes. The Dirshu, I sent it in the chat, the Dirshu has a few nafkaminas that are discussed by the poskim. Actually, one of them brings us full circle to a previous discussion that we had. It's in 49 in the newer editions. He discusses that there were some poskim who had a havamina. I don't think the havamina is a very strong havamina, but a havamina that according to the Prima Gadim, if you added carbonation to water, people carbonate soda stream, right? So then, in the times of the earlier poskim, this shiloh goes back to Iraq in the 19th century. The Ben Ishchai discusses this, so they were already adding carbonation then. So maybe that would be makav patish. So the Rabbi Tzion Abba Shol is quoted as saying that there is no Isra makav patish ba'ochlin, which would then get us in trouble according to the Prima Gadim. Or you could take the approach of the Ben Ishchai in Tshuvas Rav Paulim, the tshuva that we already mentioned in regards to toast, that we saw that the Rav Paulim discusses that whether toast would be subject to Bishul. So he says it's not going to be subject to Bishul because he brings up the issue that maybe Davar Kasha, Davar Rach, what Feivel brought up, that might not apply when it comes to foods. But he does say that it could be that even though it's not Bishul, maybe there would be a problem of Makeh B'Patish B'Ochlin. So he says, if you hold it like those who say it's Makeh B'Patish B'Ochlin, the Ben Ishchai was Koshesh. I think Rebbe Tzion Abba Shol's Svara is a very, very strong Svara. That at the end of the day, it's not makav patish. It's true, you're taking water and you're turning it to what we would call, or here in Israel, they call soda. When you say soda in Israel, it means something different than the States. In the States, all pop is referred to as soda pop. In Israel, soda means seltzer. So it's true that you're turning it into seltzer, but does that mean it's a new ochel? So Ein Hachanami, the Ben Ishchai says maybe yes, it would be a problem. Most poskim say it's not going to be an issue. Another issue that comes up And this relates to partly relates to Ellie's question that Minchas Chinuch also raises, is in regards to making jelly on Shabbos. If you make jelly on Shabbos, then maybe that sounds more makir patish than carbonated seltzer, because there you have a mixture that ramish panim chadashos folikan. It starts before you put it into the fridge. It's just a little bit of punch water and so on, and then when you take it out of the fridge, it's mamish, a new thing. It's become a solid. So there might be room to argue that's makir patish for Oakland. And the Shevet Alevi has a havamin about that, chelik zayin simen mem aleph. But then he says, at the end of the day, the makir patish was nigmar me'elav. It happened by itself. It didn't require a maisa. And that's another issue, Eli, that comes up. Whether makir patish could happen passively. It could very well be that makir patish has to happen actively. So there aren't that many instances, I don't know if you could think of any others, of makir patish that we paskin our makir patish ba'oflin, but it is a very fascinating question. Pouring the water over the herring, though, would be an example. It is interesting that Meiri v'Rabbi Rav Nevensal in Chelek Aleph Yerushalayim v'Mo'adeh on page Resh Mem Vav says, is it Resh Mem Vav? What is it? No, I'm sorry, Shin Samach Dalet, not Resh Mem Vav. Shin Samach Dalet in Chelek Aleph, Rav Nevensal brings a very interesting raya that he thinks that there is real legitimacy to the Chumrah of the Prima Gadim, and he leaves off a Tzarachion on the Chafetz Chaim. And I think I've heard from him that he thinks that there's room to be choshesh for the shita. He has a fascinating raya. The Gemara describes on Daf Kuf Tes somebody adding oil to a roasted meat. And the Gemara there says that it's mutter. And Rashi Dibar Maskel on Shrika Tavya. So Rashi says, "Kishu chamish ubelvad shelo reseach kedei levashel." As long as it's not hot enough, that'll be mamish mevashel velo amrinan dami lemesake. And we don't say that it looks like tikkun when you add a little bit of oil to the roasted thing. As long as you're not actually cooking, then in such a case, we don't say it's dami lemesake. So what's the mashmos from Rashi? The mashmos is that there are things that are dami l'masakin ba'ochel, but this is not enough to be considered a tikkun by ochel. So this appears both in Yerushalayim b'Mo'adeh as well as b'Yitzchak Ikare in very vague terms. In Yerushalayim b'Mo'adeh, he spells it out. And that would be, Rav Nevensal feels that that's a raya, that there is a concept of makav patish ba'ochel. He also brings another raya from a famous Rambam, that the Rambam says that the iser of taking off trumas and maisros that the Gemara describes in Perek Kira midrabanan the Gemara describes as makav patish midrabanan. So we see that there is a chash of makav patish even when it comes to foods. Although you could say that that's an entirely different type of tikkun. It's not a tikkun where you're changing the status of the food. It's a halachic tikkun, and it could be that that's entirely different. But those are Rav Nevensal Shlita's two rayas, actually, to the shita of the Prima Gadim. And to this day, it's still a raging debate whether there's any hechreach for this din at all, or this is this din is a din mechudash. Yes.
So, what would be the gather of makav patish when it comes to ochel? Like, when are we going to be considering a makabatish?
So that was the issue of carbonation, and that was the issue of jelly. That carbonation might not be in jelly, yes. It's Masha Einav Shel Chacham Ros. It's still to this day, I think, is still...
Like putting icing on a cake, would that be like a makabatish?
Well, I would think not, because the cake is edible and the icing is edible. So I think makir patish ba'ochlin that the Prima Gadim was discussing was a case in where the fish wasn't edible. Now, it happens to be, you just brought me into a new topic that I think we already discussed, that it could be that there are other malachos that we say, let's say, ein memareach ba'ochlin, that mimareach is done to fashion something, if you do intentionally to make it look nicer, then it'll be a problem. But over here, we're talking about taking something that's not an ochel and turning it into an ochel. So it would seem to me that the icing is edible. It would seem to me that the cake is edible. So since both the cake and the icing are edible, it would seem to me that's okay.
So the ikkar would be changing it to something edible.
That's what the prima gadim was talking about. You have something that, or making it mamish a new entity, So if you take,
that's what I was talking about, the cake, meaning you want to like make it look nice for the birthday party or something like that.
Right. So making look nice, there might be an issue of mimareach and other things, but makiv epatish ba'ochlan, I don't think it would be. Maybe I'm being vague about my reference to mimareach. I mentioned to you that in the past, there are poskim who hold that you can't be over mimareach by tchina or by chumus. That when you take it out, that's not called mimareach. And there's no mimareach by ochlan. Rav Nevinzal says, no, the poskim that say there's no mimareach by ochlan just means that when you're scooping it out, then your kavanah is going to be important. However, if your intention is not to flatten, it's going to be fine. But if your intention is to make it nice, then that's going to be a problem. So what I'm saying is that for other malachos, if you did another malacha, let's say in making the icing on the cake, you somehow were being mimareach, then there might be a problem. But makav patish, it would seem to me that's not. What else, Chevra? There were a few more hands. Eli, yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to know if Rav Nevinzal with Paskin with the prima gadim that you're not allowed to pour.
That's right.
Mammon Paskin, like?
I can't because of the speed.
And rejection of Tzina B'Shol, but did you manage Paskin that way? You can't wash things off that are salty.
I am quite sure he himself would be choshesh, that something that's not edible would be usser. I'm quite sure he would tell people not to do it. Yes, I'm quite sure. Unfortunately, because of Bidud, I wasn't able to go to him last night. But I called and the phone was busy. What else?
I also wanted to know, we're not doing the sugya of Makav Kaddish yet.
Right.
If it was something which was edible beforehand, and then you oversalted, let's say your carrot, you can't eat it anymore, can you wash the salt off?
B'chura, that's going to be totally in the above.
Okay.
It'll be totally in the above, yeah. Yeah, that's what comes out. Okay. Yes, Aryeh.
In general, how do we understand the difference between, say, like a klisheni and like todos tama, when we say that generally klisheni is ainu mevashel, right, because of the heat, but really, even though it could be really hot for a certain amount of time, other things you can dip into a klisheni if it won't get fully cooked in that time. And Tolos Tam, we looked at also, it's not a mevashel, on a deraisa level, just because it's kind of a shino, even though it could be really hot. Meaning, if I were to put the Kodesh Isfanen on Tolos Tam, would I be over on a deraisa, because it doesn't really matter about the meat that I'm cooking with it anymore. It's just about the fact that I can cook it really easily.
If you put if you cooked toldos hacham the kulyas hasfanin, maybe even then it should be usher. That's your question.
If it
was a multiple choice question, I would guess that yes, that you'd be chayef, because the whole point is that even though it's an item that for whatever reason would not qualify as bishul, but this would have that din. Unless one would say, unless the one sad to say not, is that it's not derech to be mevashel. Since it's not derech to be mevashel b'chamin, so then it wouldn't be chayev. So, but that would only be chama. All other mediums you would be chayev on. And that would also get back to the question, what's the derech hayom and what's not the derech today? That would be... So I could hear someone say that even though kol yisa asfanin is different than everything else, but since you're doing it in shelo kederech, so then outs the derech, it's not going to be chayim. That will be a chakira v'amei v'nyavon. I'll just say b'derech remiza. That will be a chakira whether the p'tur of chamin told us hachama is a p'tur in the derech or is it a p'tur in the cheftza. If it's a ptur in the chafetza, then it might be different. Okay, b'derech remiza. All right, Rabotai. Now let's take a look at the sugya of Maliach. A very, very fascinating sugya that has profound, profound implications. Now, we saw already last time, we saw that the Gemara has a shaila of melach. The Gemara is not sure how to look at melach, whether melach cooks easily or melach doesn't cook at all. If it cooks easily, so then in such a case, you'd be chayiv even in kli sheni. If it doesn't cook at all, so then you will be mutter even in a kli rishon. Tavlin, the Mishnah and Gemara say that the kli rishon is going to cook and not in a kli sheni. So, Tosas the Ramaskal Vahainu de Rav Nachman points out that most poskim seem to assume that the Gemara's maskana is that melach doesn't cook even in a kli sheni. And that's what, if you take a look, Tosas the Ramaskal Vahainu de Rav Nachman, this is all on Membez and Bez. And we talk about Pasuk Rabbein Shmuel, Shemutal Asas Melach Betashal, B'shas Afil de Kli Rishon, that it's not subject to Bishol, Shefiru Min Ha'ar. But some who are machmir, those who are machmir, shalonite melech b'kar, kol zman she'asav etzbo, tavo alav bracha. So what we have is Tesis is hachra in the sugya, based on pshat. One of the painful things about learning halacha is we can't always cheshbon out why in pshat Tosas said it, because we'd be in bishul all year. But Tosas makes a nice cheshbon in pshat of what's happening in the Gemara. And Tosas says that the bashmos of the Gemara is that actually we follow the shita that says that melach mi'ikur d'dina, we follow the main opinion that says that that's not subject to cooking at all, but we're choshesh hamachmir tavol of bracha, that it's going to be cooked even in a kli sheni. And this pshara of Tosas is what we see in Shulchan Aruch. So let's skip to Sif Tes, because we're continuing on with the unique situations of those things that possibly cook in a kli sheni, and this appears in Sif Tes. The Mechaber says kli rishon afil achar shivir me'alesh mevashel kol zman she'yatzad lesbo fichach asalit on tochel tavlin. You're not allowed to put spices into the kli rishon; it will still be mevashel. Avol melach mutalit on tochel kimin shivir me'alesh tzricha milcha bishul kibisra de tura. That expression that in order to cook it, it needs a lot of heat. V'yesh misha oser l'aseis atok kli zeh basam luach afil hu shel shor. And there are some who say that you can't put salted meat inside. Okay. Then the Ramah concludes, V'yesh osrim, skipping aside meat that's salted right now, the Ramah says, V'yesh osrim l'aseis melech afil b'klishen kosman shavlat seh lespoi, v'amachmir tavolov bracha. So he quotes this Shita that tells us, V'amachmir tavo alav bracha. So this is how we are This is how we're noeg lechatchila. The way we're noeg lechatchila is that we treat melach as being osur even bikli sheni, as a machmir tavol of bracha. Meikar d'din, of course, there won't be any maisa Shabbos, etc., etc. With that being said, one needs to add a very, very important caveat that the Mishnah Berurah points out in Sif Katan Ayin Aleph. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah. It's an important Mishnah Berurah. Sif Katan Aleph. Let's do the whole thing. V'yesh also megemara ika trei lishnim is that lishna basar avi melech lekula the kashul tavshil mishum hachim mutar fil krishon lishna kama avi melech lechumra da fil klishay mispasho. And he summarizes as we've said up until now. V'hani mili. The Mishnah Berurah continues 6 lines from the bottom. This all applies to melach shechofrim, the salt that you mine from the ground. He says, it depends on what type of salt we're talking about. If we're talking about salt that has been mined from the ground, so then in such a case, then it could be subject to bishul. But salt that's sea salt, so then the halacha is entirely going to change. If it's sea salt, so then it's cooked in advance. By the way, someone told me, one of the fellows in the Kollel from a few years ago, Ramati Stern, told me that when it comes to salt, sea salt today, there are some who are choshesh that it's actually not cooked as well as it used to be cooked once upon a time. And then it would have the same din as mined salt or sea salt. If anybody could do some research about that, I'd be curious. You doing it? Or you have information already?
Yeah,
Yeah, we spent a few minutes this morning looking it up.
Okay.
It seems like the reason that you would cook salt is to remove, right? You take a big mixture of salt water and then remove the water with cooking it. But nowadays, especially down south, they just let it evaporate.
Beautiful. Oh, that was the okay. Very good. That was the chash that he was talking. Must be that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, so that mechanism to cook it, which you know must have been used definitely in Eastern Europe and things like that for sure, are not used here. I don't think, unless like there's a way of like making it even better afterwards. But to get the salt itself, they don't cook it anymore in Israel.
Wow. So that would mean that we fall back to the din d'oraisa. Wow. Pachat pechadim. He told me that it was some type of the impression that he thought was that it was some type of chumrah, etc. But wow, if your information is correct, so that means every single Jewish house in Israel that's adding salt on Shabbos, so they would be violating. If you assume that a bowl is a klisheni, so then they would be violating chas v'chalila. The Machmir Tavola Bracha. Wow, okay. That's a very, very important piece of information.
Not violating. It's just not getting bracha from their salt.
Okay, right.
No?
Yafet, I'm a Kabbal. Yes, final.
Vila Hatzdik, all those shitas, even if it is technically aser, I remember reading Rav Shechter wrote by when it comes to killing lice in regards to spontaneous generation, that even though we know that that's not true, you could still rely on the psak of the Shulchan Aruch because it was past. You can kill kinyan. So, Lachar, maybe you can say the same thing over here. That right. Even if nowadays the production is different, that there's room to be made in this regard on the Nalach.
Right. That's quite a chiddush that Rav Shechter is saying. It's hard to, that you're reporting. We have to process that. It's
Okay.
Your chavrusa wants to be moche, it seems. Go ahead, Yehuda. Yeah, go ahead.
That seems silly. It's just a different mitzvah. We're talking about different salt. Like there, you're talking about the same animal, and it's just a machlokas in terms of how you're going to view that through the lens of halacha. But here, it's a question of is the salt cooked in water or not? Because the Gemara's salt wasn't cooked in water, and our salt and the salt in the Shulchan Aruch was. So is ours cooked in water or not?
Mm-hmm. Right. He wants to say that this is more of a simply a question of mitzius versus that question. And that, okay, yeah, that question we'll leave for now. But interesting. Okay, either way, that's what comes out in regards to salt. But here, Rabosai, it's about to get really, really exciting. You have to fasten your seatbelts. This is things are going to get. Exciting and a little bit complicated at the same time. So stop me if there's anything that's not clear, okay? The Mishnah Berura seems to be straightforward. The question is, what is his svara? He then continues, V'chein b'tzukar. So he says the same thing at the end of Sivkot and Ayin Aleph. Same thing applies to sugar. It would be permissible to put it in a kli rishon after it's been removed from the fire. Okay, that's an interesting question. We'll have to leave for Monday. Why, if it's mutter, why does it have to remove from the fire? V'yesh mefak b'kim b'zeh, v'tov li'zar mikli rishon l'chatchila. Now, sugar is clearly cooked beforehand as well. And yet, what we learn is that you have to be careful that, or not have to, it's suggested that you should be careful not to put sugar in a kli rishon. So, the question is why? If it's already been cooked, we have a rule of ein bishul achar bishul. So here, the source of this is the Sefer HaAguda. The Sefer HaAguda suggests that even in our salt, that maybe we should be machmir in a kli rishon. Maybe we should be machmir. The Rabbi Akiva Eger, as the Shaar HaTzion points out, also makes reference to this opinion, and we have a reference to it also in the Magen Avram. Let's take a look in our Shulchan Aruch. He says, the Magen Avraham in Sifkat Lamed Aleph says straight up, that's mutter. Venerli de melech she'osem mayim shevashon olson, ein ba mishon bishol, de ein bishol achar bishol. He says straight up, that's going to be mutter. But Rabbi Akiva Eger says the same should apply to sugar, but the Aguda says that that there is reason to be machmir, and he says mikol makom tov lahachmir. So I'd like to understand is what is this chumrah that Rabbi Akiva Eger somehow squeezed out of the Magen Avraham? What does it say in terms of halacha lemaisa for us in terms of both salt and sugar? And what is going to be, what is the possible svara to be machmir? So here, Reb Nissim Karelis begins to take apart the shayla in a very, very effective way. Reb Nissim Karelis points out on page Kuf Pei Zayin, I sent it to you in the chat, he points out that there are three different shaylas that are at play. And we're going to run with one of those shaylas that he brings up. And we're actually going to come out in a quite a different place that Reb Nissim Karelis comes out with. And you'll see. That basically, what's going to emerge is we're going to have Reb Nissim Zatzal's Mahalach and Reb Simcha Bunim Kohen Yibad al-Lachaim, his Mahalach in terms of how to understand these things. And it's going to have far-reaching implications. So let's start where everybody would agree with Reb Nissim Karelis as the starting point. He says, there are three shaylas that could be at play when we're talking about the salt. Number one is that there is a shayla of kaleh bishul, that maybe when it comes to bishul v'melach, that somehow there is a chshash of kaleh bishul, and possibly even if it's already been cooked, somehow there was some type of chumrah of kaleh bishul. Beis, the second thing he says, and this is we're really going to run with, is how do you look at salt and sugar? Do you look at them as a davar yavesh or as a davar lach? And this is what the Machzis HaShekel brings up in explaining the Magen Avraham, that when the Magen Avraham said that when the salt is never going to be subject to bishul if it's already been cooked beforehand, he says because the salt starts out as a solid, and you look at it as a solid, and we have a rule of ein bishul achar bishul. However, there is another possibility, and that is to say that since the salt and the sugar liquefies, that for some reason we would then describe it as a davar lach. And if it's a davar lach, so then in such a case it will be subject to bishul. And finally, the last issue is that there is room to argue that there is an iser nolad when it comes to the salt and sugar liquefying, and that would be at play as well. Those are the three potential issues that one can have when it comes to the salt and the sugar. Now, in Sif Tes Zayin, we have this shayla, a similar shayla, and here both, again, all the poskim will agree that there is parallel between the shayla of salt and sugar and the famous case of gravy that had congealed. So let's take a look in Simin Tes Zayin and see how the Mechaber paskins in regards to congealed gravy, and then work backwards from that shayla and back into the case of sugar and the salt. The Mechaber says, "Muter litein in panda keneged eish makum shayat zoledes va'af al pi shashumen sheba chozer v'nikresh v'nimoach." Even though it's the gravy is congealed, and when you heat up the solid, the gravy then turns into a liquid. Nevertheless, it's going to be mutter. Why? Because it's considered a solid, and we have the rule of ein bishul achar bishul. Now you see the parallel, Rabosai, right? Here we have a parallel. We have something that's starting off as a solid, sugar or salt, and then is liquefying. So it's mefurish and sif tes zayin that's mutter. Comments the Mishnah Berurah sif katan kuf. Even though the fat becomes like liquefied, since when you put it on the fire, there it had been a solid. The fact that it liquefies is not important. In the words of the Machtzis HaShekel, Bedas HaMagen Avram, it's because you go basar hashta. You go at how you look at it now. And that's why the Magen Avram said that you're going to be machmir. Maybe Maybe the hamachmir of the Rabbi Kiva Eger is that he holds that there's room to look at it as a liquid. There's room to look at it as a liquid. And then in such a case, then we would say that one would have to be machmir. The problem with this understanding, by the way, this understanding is definitely heading us in the right direction, but there are some things that need to be qualified and clarified to understand this. And that is, the Mishnah Brura in Sifkatan Lamed Gimel seems to contradict this. In Sifkatan Lamed Gimel, he says, we learned that a regular food you're allowed to put in a Kli Rishon if it's been already cooked. So comments the Mishnah Brura in Sifkatan Lamed Gimel, Afilu b'Kli Rishon Rosek, Kdei She'ini Mochshav, Yedavar Lach, Dein Bishol Achar Bishol. There the Mishnah Brura describes that you have something that started out as hard. It becomes soft. He says, since it started as hard, we're going to be what? We're going to be Mako. So, Mayri V'Rabi, Rav Nevensal asked this to me, I think twice when he was teaching me Bishul, and he has a very quick reference to it on Sifkatan Lamed Gimel, that the Mishnah Brura seems to contradict himself in Sifkatan Lamed Gimel with Sifkatan Ayin Aleph. In Sifkatan Ayin Aleph, we had learned in regards to the sugar and the salt, we had seen there that it's Aser B'Kli Rishon. Yet, when it comes to the case of the solid, there the Mishnah Brura is Mekel. So we have three different exhibits. One is that we see that the Magen Avraham says straight up, based on what we learn in Siftes, that you should be Mekel Lagamri when it comes to the salts and the sugars, even though it becomes a liquid, because you look at it Basar Hashta. Yet maybe it could be that the Mishnah Brura was being Machmir when it comes to the sugar and the salt because it becomes liquid. But then if that's the pshat, the Mishnah Brura is Saiser Mishnaso on Sivkatan Lamigil. So that's why I meant we have to buckle our seatbelts over here, because we're dealing with quite a few different cases and of quite a few different shitos simultaneously. But so far, we have that Rav Nissim Karelitz, and we're going to see Rav Simcha Bunim Cohen agrees that when it comes to the issue of sugar and salt, it could be that they're going to defy the regular rules, because even though we say in Bishlach HaBishul, because actually there's room to say that once it becomes a liquid, that we view it as a liquid. The problem is that straight up, the Magen Avraham already rejected that, because he says that in Tes Zayin, we see that we don't look at it that way. So the question becomes, why is it different? And then even the Mishnah Brura himself, in Sifkatan Lamed Gimel, seems to be Soser Mishnaso. So, yes, let me take questions and clarifications. Go ahead, Mati.
So, Rabbi, I was just wondering, I'm a little bit confused as to the practicality of the salt and sugar, like at which point and like in what capacity you're adding them?
If you add them into a Kli Rishon, normally a Kli Rishon cooks. But the problem is that salt and sugar have already been cooked. We're assuming we're talking about, let's talk about sugar. Let's not use salt, because now we were encountered with this very heavy metzius. But so sugar has already been cooked. So since sugar has already been cooked, so then why should it be subject to Bishul in a Kli Rishon? And we saw the fact that it turns into a liquid in Sif Tezayin, we see that that's not consequential.
And so when we say a Kli Rishon, like would the actual cooking process, would this be in something like a blech or...
No, we're talking about putting it, let's say, into, you took soup off the fire, or you took porridge off the fire, and you put sugar or salt inside. But the same would be if it's on a blech as well. If it's not subject to bishul because it's already been cooked, so then there should be no problem even to add it to the fire itself. But so that could take place on the blech also. Good? Okay. So, Rabosai, first let me, not answering all the tzarachiyuns, let's take a look. It's in the chat. Rabisim Karelitz Mahalach. Rabisim Karelitz's Mahalach is as follows. His Mahalach is to say that Einachanami, this Deya in the Mishnah Brura that was being Machmir, Rabbi Kiva Eger, was disagreeing with the Magen Avraham. And he was saying that you have to be Choshesh for this to be Nimuach. You have to be Choshesh in this case that it's going to be Nimuach. Dahainu, that Rabbi Kiva Eger was Mesupach whether the Magen Avraham's Yisod was correct. Even the Yisod that we saw, that the Mishnah Brura says is a Davar Pashut, that you look at it as Basar Hashta, maybe you don't look at it Basar Hashta. So therefore, sugar and salt are going to be subject to the din of Bishul Achar Bishul, because you look at it as Davar Lach. And the Rabbisim Karelitz adds, that's actually Meduya, the fact that the Mishnah Brura only spoke about sugar in Sifkat and Ayin Aleph, when he says to be Machmir in a Kli Rishon. Because he said sugar to be machmer in a kli rishon, but salt would be aser. Rav Nissim Karel says our salt would be aser even in a kli sheni. Why? Because once you say that has a din of lach, and we learned that there's a machmer tabal of bracha on salt that's not been cooked beforehand. So then, in such a case, we would say yesh bishul achar bishul and salt. Even in a klisheni, because salt would qualify as kali abishol. Remember that we saw that the source of all kali abishol that we discussed on Monday starts with melach. So, therefore, the Mishnah Brura is meduyak and is machmir for sugar in a kli rishon, not in a klisheni, because we didn't see that sugar is called kali abishol, but salt, we had in our machmir tavla bracha, according to Rama based on Tosas, even in a klisheni. So that is how Rav Nissim Karelitz concludes in terms of our halacha. Okay, that's his approach.
Rabbi,
yes, yes.
Did Rabbi just say that Rav Karelitz argued that salt is a davar lach or is it kali abishul?
Both. In other words, he says it's both. The first shaila we need to ask is whether we pass like this Magen Avraham, that you look basar hashta or you look basar sof. So he says, even though the Magen Avraham is clear, is unequivocal, you look basar hashta. Rabbi Kiva Eger said hamachmir tavol abracha. So he's learning the hamachmir tavol abracha that goes back to Agos Mardechi is already based on this svara. It's based on this svara. This svara that maybe you have to be choshesh that it's a lach in the future, and therefore we consider it as a lach now. And therefore, when it comes to sugar, you'd be machmir kli rishon. But when it comes to salt, so then, by salt, there's even room to be machmir in a klisheni, because we saw that salt is going to be usher even in a klisheni, according to a machmir tavol of bracha. So far, so good? Gevaldik. Okay. I would like to suggest, that doesn't answer the stira in the Mishnah Brura and Sifkat and Lamed Gimel, I would like to suggest a different way of understanding the shita over here that might be a slightly more nuanced. And that is based on what Rav Simcha Bonim Kohn is Mamish Megala Asod. He was Megala Asod. This is, by the way, this is a glorious footnote that I'm going to share with you from Rav Kohn Shlita. It's, by the way, of all of the books, all the Kitzer books that are the most practical on the one hand, but have the most powerful Ha'aros, most incisive Ha'aros, like our Mechadesh, the most in the Ha'aros, is Rav Kohn's books in terms of the... Every one of his footnotes is often, not everyone, but many, many, many of his footnotes are very, very, very powerful haro. Some footnotes are just likutim. His footnotes often are very, very incisive, as well as his books are extremely, extremely practical. So they are, he does a very, very good job. So if you take a look in the Shari Tshuva, the Shari Tshuva quotes in regards to salt and alike, he quotes the Shita of the Zera HaEmes. And the Zera HaEmes was Machmer on sugar. Take a look at Shari Tshuva, Sifkatan He. V'ayin Panim Me'iros. This is on our halacha. Shemevin, Osan Shemevin Bishabis, Maim Roskin Mikli Rishon, Uvushalim, Imte, Umaara Mikli Rishon, Otocha Kars, Ktanos Shesh Bahem Tsukar. So people pour onto the sugar cubes. Ein Kamishun Bishop, it's not subject to Bishop. Kivan Shasukar Kvarnis Bashel, since the sugar has already been cooked. So the Panim Me'iros, who's the grand, by the way, the father or grandfather of the Pischei Tshuva, the Panim Me'iros, he was one of the Gedolei Aposkim of his time. I think the grandfather, Pischei Tshuva calls him as Zikni. He quotes him often. So the Panim Me'iros was Mekel. However, and here you have to follow along, the Shari Tshuva turns a couple of pages, you skip from 272 in the standard edition of Mishnah Berurah to 275, and he says, it's no different than the Magen Avraham when it comes to salt, and the Magen Avraham is Mekel by salt. And then he says, U'mimachzik bracha kasa b'shem zera emes. Shemigam game baze, umasig shetov ores hakave bekosos, va'achakach los bot sukar. You have to be choshesh that the sugar is going to cook in a kli rishon. So this is the same conclusion that we had from the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't quote it in the name of the Zera MS, but the Mishnah Berurah said on his own, based on Rabbi Kiva Eger, to be machmir for the sugar in a kli rishon. Okay. So far, this is all things that if one read Mishnah Berurah and Berahetev and Shari Tshuva well, this we would all already know. It seems to be a repeat of the above discussion. However, if Simcha Bunim Kohen, I'm not going to tell you all the kashas that he's miyashiv. He has three or four different kashas about the way most understand the Zera Emes, the way and the Mahalach of the Magen Avraham. But what I will summarize for you is his conclusion and how it answers the questions that we had presented. He has many kashas, and he says the following pshat in the case of the sugar. But not only does he say his pshat is not speculation, he found the Zera Emes, and the Zera Emes is mefurish according to his yishuv. Let me read to you the words. Let me start the right way. Let me read to you the words of the Zera Emes. The Shari Tshuva didn't quote him. He quoted that the Machzik Bracha quotes the Zera Emes. So listen to this, Rabosai. This is mamish worth dancing for. Listen to this. Va'od. Dekivan delo nigmar asiyasa v'tachlisoi shel asukar de'ein derech lechol asukar be'enei elamachui b'mayim. Havelei ki ilu, this is the punchline, listen to this, ki ilu lo nispasho kol tzarkoi de'asar ligmar bishulo. You hear what he says? He says like this. He says, sugar, when you cook it, it's not entirely finished. When they make it in the factory, it's not nigmar bishulo. Why? Because people then put it into the tea. They put it into the tea, they continue to cook it. So, Eimechanami, if you have something that has already been nigmar bishulai, so then in such a case, then it will be subject to the din, no bishul. Eim bishlacha bishul. You would go basar hashta. The Magen Avraham said you go basar hashta. But what happens if you have those things that are not nigbar bishulo? So then in such a case, then the halacha is going to be different. Then it's going to be subject to bishul. So that's mefurish. That's what the Zera Emes writes. That's mefurish what the Zera Emes writes.
Yeah, but really, people eat sugar plain.
Normal people.
Shaila and
Kira. Oh, no, I hear you, Normal people.
Yeah, they put sugar on strawberries and carrot steer, everybody eats sugar cubes. Okay, candy. Everyone's eating. There's a lot of candy. There's just, you dip. I mean, it's a crazy thing. You have a lollipop, but you lick and you dip it into sugar. Like, it's eaten. It's not Gemar Malach, but it's also able to be put into coffee.
Okay. And now, do you want to say that maybe that gets into a question of it could be sugar was consumed once upon a time in a different way than it is consumed now? That's an interesting question.
Yeah, that could be. So that, on one hand,
and that's the Metzius of the Zera Emes. Wait. So Ellie, let me finish. I'm middle of my Shtickle Torah. Wait a second. Let me. You're not allowed to interrupt the Rebbe in the middle of a Shtickle Torah. So let me finish. I want to hear what you have to say. But okay. So this is. I hear what you're saying. But what Rav Simcha Bunim Kohen did a tremendous service for us. He found another. The source of the Zera Emes. The Zera Emes, I read you in verbatim. That's the pshat that he's choshish for when it comes to sugar. Revel, you want a tiny, maybe the metzias is same, different, and so on. You could be dana, whether you, even if the metzias change, is the same, but maybe you could disagree with his svara. Okay, everything is possible. But the point is, we now have an achron that says black on white what the Mishnah Berurah says, and now this might be a possible pshat. Im keinem advarim. So then what emerges is that when it comes to salt, clearly salt is different, because clearly here I would agree with Ellie that salt is used just as well in a cold as it is hot. So that might be why the Mishnah Berurah only discusses being machmir on sugar in a klisheni. And then based on this, I can answer the steer in the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Lama Gimel. When the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Lama Gimel said that if you put something that was fully hot, something that was fully cooked, into something that's piping hot, then there's no din of bishul achar bishul, even if it's nimuach. But we ask the kasha of the Mishnah Berurah is choshesh for nimuach against the Magen Avraham, if that's the pshat of the chumrah. So that's a stira between sifkatan lama gimel to sifkatan ayin aleph. And why is it that the Mishnah Berurah and sifkatan kuf by in panda? Why wasn't he machmir over there? Why does he follow the Magen Avraham over there by in panda, where he says that you go basar hashta, yet when it came to Sukkot, there he didn't go Basar Hashta. So that's a kasha on Rav Nissim Karelitz's Mahalach. But according to the way Rav Simcha Bunim Cohen is presenting from the Zera Emes, all the kashas are answered. Both Sifkat and Lame Gimel, as well as Sif Tezayin, are talking about already fully cooked foods. If we're talking about really cooked foods, then you say Bishul Achar Bishul. Even if you're going to be Choshesh for the basar hashta. The only time we're choshesh for the basar hashta is when you have something that hasn't been entirely cooked. So when Mayri Virabi asked me about Sifkatan Lamigimel, obviously on the spot I'm never able to answer him. But I thought about it a little more, and I asked him if this would be a possible teretz, and he said to me, Yafe Ma'od, Yashir Koyach, Yashir Koyach. He liked the teretz. If you go with the Zera Emes. According to Rav Nissim Karelitz, I think, which is more the standard Mahalach, then you're left with the Tzarech Iyuns that we were left with. That at the end of the day, it's a little bit difficult. Why does the Mishnah Berurah Choshesh in one place and not Choshesh in the other place? Fire away, Rabbi Yisai. Yeah, Ellie, go ahead.
I don't want to get in trouble again, so I was raising my hand.
That's true. I was about to say you never get in trouble, but that would have contradicted myself. Yeah, go ahead. You know, I shared with you the story with Lahavdil when Rabbi Braunschweigel interrupted Rav Soloveitchik.
I don't think so.
Oh, God, this is an amazing story. So he said the Rav was like 2 hours into the shir and was like at the punchline of his chiddush. And the Rav would dramatize. You know, he would have 6 or 7 kashas, and it became a drama. Ad kedei kach, that a story within a story. Rav Lichtenstein, Rabbi Reichman told me that once that the Rav developed an amazing, amazing chiddush, and he had 5 or 6 kashas, and he got stuck. And when he would get stuck, he would sometimes stop for a few minutes, and everything was quiet, v'chule, and then he slowly started working with the Talmidim, and he developed the whole chiddush, and it was amazing, amazing mahal. So Rabbi Reichman was so blown away. And Rabbi Rachman's a little younger than Rav Lichtenstein's at Tzal. So when he came out of the shir, he said it was amazing. He was on the spot, how he worked it all through, and he was miyashiv all the kashas. So Rav Lichtenstein said to him, I have to tell you that my father-in-law said the same chiddush 2 years ago. He said, but for the boys, he wanted to show how difficult it was. So Rabbi Rachman said he has tremendous respect for Rav Lichtenstein's at Tzal, but he was never mekabel that. He felt that the Rav's ga'inus was, he said, that this fascinating point. He said the Rav's mind was so powerful, he said, that he was able to turn off his mind. It was so powerful that he was able to make himself forget what he said last time in the sugya. His other point was, he said that the Rav, he believes that the Rav in Berlin was learning 24/7. Even though he was writing his dissertation, v'chule, he said his mind was so powerful that he was able to be doing different things at once. So he said that, but another example he thought was even greater than learning the sugya while reading philosophy was that he was able to mamish turn his mind off. Anyhow, so there was these dramatic moments, and so Soloveitchik was right at the cusp of developing the chiddush, And Reb Braunschweigel had a Rajba that would be a Raya to that Yisod. And he said, in those days, I have at home these big, from my father maybe, well, these big Rajbas, not the Masada Rav Kook Rajbas. So he took the Rajba and he, like, Reb Braunschweigel, if you see the picture from Reb Kefet's thing, he's right in the front. So he took the, he told us they sat in the front. And then I saw in the picture corroborated. So he took the Rajba and he basically, like, started saying under his breath that the Rajba said it. So he said the Rav grabbed the Rajba and he said he was about to bang it over his head. He said he stopped an inch above his head. He was so frustrated with him that he's interrupting in the middle of the thing. Okay, go ahead, Ellie. Yeah. See, I muted you. Getting you back. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
You're icing the picture, trying to get my question.
Right.
Here's my passion out of the house. Is that how do we know that sugar, meaning as far as sugar goes, in the life of, like, say, a sugar cube, the malacha's over.
Right.
Meaning, why does the gemar malacha of a sugar only mean that the way that you, like, use it in cooking means that that's the gemar malacha?
No.
Meaning it's not edible. Just because it's not eaten, now it doesn't make it not edible. Like with super salty fish, that's really inedible. It's disgusting.
Right.
But and meaning even if you forget about the matzah stuff, like you could eat sugar if you wanted to. It's not horrible and disgusting. It's not like a crazy, you know, uncooked item which you've never eaten. So why is it so clear that the gemar malacha is only once you put it into a cup of coffee?
So I think what he was saying was he was assuming that the matzahs in those times were that the sugar was generally always continued on to Bishul. And since the sugar was generally continued on to Bishul, there'll be something like going from Michael Ben Rusai to Mavushal called Sarko. That's what he's assuming. Now, you could disagree with him halacha lemaisa without disagreeing with his yisod. You might be mekabel my chiddush. In other words, I would like you to see whether you're mekabel my chiddush in the Mishnah Berurah. In other words, I'm extending it to be miyashiv all the Mishnah Berurahs. I don't know if Rasim Tabunim Kohen does that.
No, I like Yishev, but I think it works well.
Right. But you could say that halacha lemaisa might be different today. The nafkamina, like we said, might be with salt. In other words, the Zera Emes never said in regards to salt. So it could be, it's not like the way Reb Nissen Karel Zatzal said it. The Eina Chanami by salt, you would even be machmir a klisheni. It could be, and in our salt, of course, emphasize, everything we're talking now is about our salt and our sugar, trying to figure out why we're so machmir. So that's this suggestion. Okay, Rabosai, let's apply this to a very, very pertinent question, and that is in regards to making coffee. What would halacha be about making coffee on Shabbos? So Meiri V'Rabbi, on that line of Tov Lizar, Meiri V'Rabbi writes, Gam kafen amis bevushol ein liten lechatchila bekli rishon. So that's why, even though instant coffee has been already cooked, nevertheless, what did we see? That you have to be machmir in a kli rishon. By the way, the Zera Emes works beautifully with Rav Nevin Sal's Chumra, because coffee, even though it's already been cooked beforehand, the instant's been cooked beforehand, but clearly, this is Eli, definitely not like the sugar that you pointed out, coffee is clearly goes through a extended talich, so maybe that rule of Ein Bishul Achar Bishul doesn't apply. And then he points out, of course, coffee that's not been cooked, like instant coffee, I think Turkish coffee is not cooked beforehand. So I'm not sure about the Matzias. Which coffees are not cooked beforehand? The brewed coffees? What's the Matzias Rabbo say? I'm an instant coffee person. I never...
Yeah, just like the regular beans.
It's the regular beans that haven't been cooked yet.
The regular beans are roasted, but not cooked.
Ah, so then we'll be subject to Bishlachar Tzliya. So he says to be Machmir, my Rabbi says to be Machmir on that for Yad Soledisbo with all of them. Okay, so that would be the application in terms of instant coffee. Tova, Misupa, I think what I'm going to do, because I didn't get to Daven Mincha yet, I just want to make sure that I don't miss before Shkia. So I had in mind to do Rav Moshe's Tshuvas. We haven't done Rav Moshe's Tshuvas at all. So what we're going to do is like this. Maybe what we'll do is as follows. We'll go through the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa now, of how he summarized the halach of all the above, of everything that we've been discussing up until now. And then we'll do, Emir Tzeh Hashem, we'll do spices. We haven't done spices yet. We're going to do the sugya of Tavlinim. And we'll do the Shmir and we'll do Rav Moshe's Tshuvas also, as far as that's concerned. So let's take a look at the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa in Chelek Aleph, Sifim Nun Gimel through Nun Vav. Let's see how he paskins on all of the above. Kli Sheni. Basically, he's discussing here Kli Sheni. Mikivan Sheyesh Lamachil Machalim Hamaspash and Gami Kli Sheni. Ve'ein Anachnu Bikim Ladas Eluhein. Yesh Lachmir Velomar. The Kol Dover Shein Levusho. Yesh Mobishom Isser Bishol Gam Nesinasa Kli Sheni. So, first of all, he's Choshesh for all foods, not to be Mavashon Kli Sheni. All of them you have to be choshesh in a klisheni. Yotzim min haklal hazeh is mayim v'shemen and tavlin. But we're going to have to discuss tavlin. Emir Tzeh Hashem will do it, Emir Tzeh Hashem, on Monday. Nun dalid, ubasher lemelech. Of course, this is the old edition, Shemir Shabbos. In regards to salt, Mikim shekol melech shulchan gam melech bishul mizukaku, arei dino kidin advarim mizukarim, la'il b'sif memtes, u'lahalon sif nun aleph. So what does he mean, la'halon sif nun aleph? So he says, dover lach shumavusho kol tzarko, kigon cholav roseh otam tzistei, v'ud sonen, av b'sheish b'mishum iser bishul, Mutter lotzito b'tavshul b'kli sheni. So he says it's mutter to put most these things in a kli sheni. Included would be salt. Salt is matir that he says that's been already cooked. You're allowed to put in a kli sheni. Mutter gam liter b'toch kos mayim chamin kishakos kli sheni sukar. You could also put into a kli sheni sugar, mitzlema mutrak, or a lemon juice, tamtzis marak, or a soup digest, the instant soups, cocoa, coffee, tea, all of them are mutter, because they're all been cooked beforehand, they're all cooked in advance. So I just want to add that what emerges is that he's not machmir when it comes to salt in a to put it into a kli shlishi. We saw that Rav Nissim Karelitz was machmir for salt, even in to put only into a kli shlishi. And he is machmir about not putting it into a kli rishon. He also doesn't raise the metzias that Elia just said, that it could be that our salt today is not really cooked, or is cooked minimally. I think what the research that Rav Mati had done was that, along what you had said, Eli, that a lot of it's vaporized and it's cooked minimally, and that requires more birur, that the halach would be different today. But at the end of the day, for the sugar, he does say to put only into a kli sheni, and we gave a hesber based on the Zera MS. We do have to discuss spices, and that Emir Tzeh Hashem will pick up with next week, as well as everything I've done up until now has really been influenced deeply by Rav Shlomo Zalman Zatzal and Yibadol L'Chaim Rav Nevin Sal Shlita. What the guys kept on asking me about was Rav Moshe's Zatzal's positions, and Emir Tzeh Hashem will go through Rav Moshe's Tshuvas on Monday before we begin the next sugya. You have the Maror Makomos, right? I sent it out. Okay. Wishing everybody a good Shabbos. I could stick around for a couple minutes for questions.